What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back for episode 85. After a brief hiatus, we are back with more nerd stuff. Whether it's things that we've been watching, games we've been playing, books we've been reading, wherever the case may be. And this week, though, is going to be a little bit more relaxed in the sense of there's nothing too big to talk about. There's a ton, like all over the news right now. I don't want to talk about any of that stuff, though. I really don't. Enough of you have been obsessing over the news as of late, especially on Twitter. It's like hot take central right now, and it's making me look at you a little different. So I kind of want to avoid that for myself, because not gonna lie, don't like talking about stuff that I don't have enough knowledge on, or like feel, you know, that I'm knowledgeable enough to have some type of stance on certain things. It's okay to like assume, it's okay to like, you know, for things that are fun, you know what I mean? Like, you know, what's going to happen with Obi-Wan in this next couple of episodes or whatever. But not so much on the real life stuff. And yeah, that's enough of that. So beyond those things, this week has been pretty interesting. We just had the State of Play. So I'm breaking the fourth wall a little bit. Sony State of Play, they showed some new games, some new third-party games coming to their system as well as other systems. One of them was Street Fighter VI, which looks amazing. I can't wait to get my hands on that next year. One of the bigger announcements, though, was Resident Evil 4 Remake. We knew this was coming, similar to Street Fighter, but we didn't think it would be shown here. Maybe at the Summer of Games that's coming up I think next week. Yeah, next week, or the beginning of next week, or this weekend. Didn't expect it, mainly because Capcom's been kind of, you know, mums the word on it. At the very least, they showed Street Fighter VI, you know, logo and stuff like that. But prior, so you knew it was coming, they were going to show a trailer at some point. But for Resident Evil, it was more like a rumor. These are things that the fans wanted. And while that was kind of what produced the Resident Evil 2 remake, we kind of didn't know what to expect, because the last time we saw anything about Resident Evil 4, it was the virtual reality one, the VR one. Mm. And it felt like a big, like, Capcom pulling the rug from under everybody. It's like, oh, this is what you want? Yeah, we're going to give you this, though. Mind you, the game was good. It's definitely good. But it's also nice to see that the remake is actually coming. It's going to be dropping on the PS5, Xbox Series X, and also on PC, and Solo Street Fighter is going to be on PS4, 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. No crossplay as of right now, which kind of sucks if you have one console versus another, especially considering it's still hard to find PlayStation 5s. Crossplay would be dope right about now. And then also, you know, you want to be able to play with your friends, and not everybody has the same console for whatever reason. You might not like the PlayStation, or you might just be a PC gamer. You want to play on your PC and whatnot. And considering Street Fighter 4 was, you know, had crossplay between the Sony console and PC, we just kind of expected it. It's not going to be out until next year, though, so there is time to implement some form of crossplay. But that would be really cool. I hope they do that. I think the only other fighting game right now. No. Is it? I think it's the only fighting game right now, Mortal Kombat 11, that allows you to play with people who are on PlayStation and people who are on the Xbox. I think it's the only one. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But it would be nice if Street Fighter VI could do it as well. So that's just a little bit of gaming stuff. Beyond that, though, I've been watching a lot of stuff, a lot of streamed content. I started watching Stranger Things, and this new season is really good, but it's also bad. Similar to Severance, we talked about Severance last week. And it does this thing that TV does, where it sandwiches content that isn't as interesting in between like major story arcs or major developments. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that the part that's being sandwiched isn't good and it's not interesting. It's actually really cool. It's just that they do this thing where they jump between like mini stories that are all connected. And mm-hmm. you'll get to a cliffhanger. This person's about to die. And then we jump over to another character and it's like, wait, what? And they're still in the same place. You know, like, let's say like they're trying to disarm a bomb this doesn't happen, but just walk with me. They're trying to disarm a bomb and it's counting down. They have 4 minutes left. And then while that's happening, we jump to another scene of someone in a totally different side of the country. It's, you know, it's daylight. It's not dark like it is on the other side. And, you know, they're having tea and the tea is great. It's good tea. It's not bad tea. Right. And they're spilling the tea at the same time. They're talking about things that are, you know, important to the plot. But there was a whole disarming of a bomb on over here. We flash over to the people who are disarming the bomb and only 1 minute has passed. So you can understand how that's kind of rough because you're stretching the time a little bit. And mind you, all of the episodes are over an hour, like hour 16 or something like that. Like they shot many movies with this season. It's actually really long. It's one of the most expensive shows, episodic shows ever. I think it, you know, Amazon.
More than Boardwalk Empire?
I think so. And I think it's mainly because of the length. I think the one that's the biggest right now, obviously, is Amazon's upcoming show, you know, Lord of the Rings show. That's the most expensive. But I think Stranger Things is like number four or number three. It's up there. And I think a lot of it has to do with how long the episodes are, the special effects and all this other stuff. You got to pay these people to do all this. And you have multiple like mini movies of this. Yeah, it's gonna be expensive. That said, it's still good. It's still good. And it has a lot of horror elements. They're really pushing the, I don't know if it was ever like PG-13 or, because, you know, it's TV. So like, you know, I don't know, TV-14 or whatever that rating is. They're really pushing the limit in terms of violence. Because things are kind of rough. You see people die in dramatic ways. It's not for the squeamish. But if you like Stranger Things, I definitely recommend checking out. It's broken into two parts. The first part is available now. The second part doesn't drop until July. So you have time. You have time to check it out. Another show I've been watching is Spy X Family. I don't know if I talked about this anime, but it's really cute. The premise is you have a spy, so a male spy. He has to infiltrate a secret organization that's, you know, hell-bent on taking over the planet. Mm-hmm. And the way he was told, or the way he was led to go about this assignment, was to get his child into an exclusive school that all of these like people in these higher places that he's trying to, you know, spy on, all their children go there. The thing is, he doesn't have a kid, so he has to adopt a kid.
Okay, that's funny.
so that's number one. So he has to adopt a kid. There's a secret spy, but because of the prestige of the school, you can't just be anybody. You can't just roll up there and be like, "Hey, I'm trying to get my kid up in here." Well, you know, you have to go through all these tests. You have to be a part of a well-knit family. You have to look a certain way. And so he needs to find a wife. He just so happens to get, convince someone to marry him, you know, like a fake marriage. This person happens to be an assassin. He doesn't know this. The assassin doesn't know that he's a spy. Mm-hmm. So we have a Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing going on.
That's
funny. Number two, right? So you have a spy, you have an assassin who are pretending to be husband and wife. And you have this child that they adopted. Now, the crazy thing about the child is that she is a telepath. She can read people's minds. So she knows that her dad, her you know, adopted dad, is a spy, and that he's only adopted her because he needs to infiltrate this secret organization. And she knows that her mom is an assassin. The premise is just wild to think about. Because I think she's like, I don't know if she's 10, maybe she's 8. I'll say 8. But she likes spy movies. And so she's already smitten with her dad because like, oh, he's a spy. I can help him save the world and all this other stuff. But then she hears what he says in his head. And it's like shocking to her because he says something like, darn, you know, she wasn't able to get in here or do these things. So maybe if I take this person out, then maybe she can do it. And so she's like, oh God, I got to save these people before, you know what I'm saying? Because to them it's like, at least to the dad, it's like, I gotta do what I gotta do because I have to save the world. Now granted, he's not like violent like the mother is. The mother is more violent, where they kind of depict her as being, I guess the word is sheltered. She doesn't really know. She doesn't have like, she doesn't pick up on cues with other people and stuff like that. She tries to you know, stay under the weather, or not under the weather, like under the radar. And when she's, you know, in type of some type of confrontation, she doesn't know how to handle it. So she's like, you know, maybe I should just kill this person. You know, that'd make me feel better. And so the daughter is kind of like, no, but then she doesn't want to tell them that she knows what's going on, because that can, you know, things will unravel and then she would have to go back to the orphanage. And she has been passed up multiple times because she can read people's minds. She tries to be what they want, you know, her to be as a kid.
Yeah.
But because she's reading their minds, she's constantly making mistakes. Not anything that would get her, you know, potentially kicked out. But, you know, the people who adopted her prior weren't the best people anyways. And so, not that this situation is healthy. I'm just saying they gave her back to the orphanage for bad reasons. And so everyone is like, oh, and I forgot to say, the wife, her deal is that I think in their culture, or at least within the anime, it's saying that she, if she's not married by a certain year, like age or whatever, that she must be a spy. Like there's something wrong with her, you know, she's only in the country for these reasons, et cetera, et cetera. And so she's like, crap, I need to marry someone or find a boyfriend or whatever, because people think I'm a spy. And which is really bad because she's actually an assassin. So it's this wild thing that's going on. But it's actually rather tame in terms of violence. There are scenes where like the spy and the assassin like beat up people or whatever. She tells her husband that she takes karate lessons. That's why she's really good. But you don't actually see her killing a ton of people, because it's all about the family dynamic and how they are able to kind of like bounce off of one another and try to make this thing work. And it's actually a really cute show and funny, like really funny. I think you should check it out. It's on Crunchyroll. I think they're up to episode 9, I think, right now. And it's one of my favorites so far. Like I've had some good ones that I've been watching outside of my usual that don't ever freaking stop, like One Piece. But this is really good. This is really good.
It sounds funny.
Check that out. Like, it's just, can you imagine?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it sounds really hilarious. Everybody's motivated by their own they all have their own motivations.
Yeah, and they somehow make it work, and it's kind of because you can kind of tell what's happening. Like you can see where they're going. Eventually they're going to, you know, fall for one another. They're going to love the kid. They're going to end up keeping the kid. I'm waiting for the moment they find out that she can read their minds, though, because that is when I think that needs to be a cliffhanger. That needs to be the end of the season cliffhanger, because what can you do now? Like you can't think about anything. Like you can't really like any of the secrets that he's keeping, like why he packs his gun the way he does, or why he wears this mask, or why he's talking to this person this way or whatever. None of that works. Like he tried to infiltrate her school to kind of nudge her in the right direction. He wanted her to be friends with certain children because their fathers and mothers are, you know, part of the syndicate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she knows he's there though, because she can read his mind. So he can't hide. You know what I mean? It's yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. And I'm having a blast watching it intermittently between all the other stuff that I'm watching currently. And then I think the last thing I started watching was the new Obi-Wan Kenobi show. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, that's all mixed in with the, you know, people arguing about who's racist and who isn't. You know, there's a black lead who is playing one of the Inquisitors. Basically, they're not technically not Sith, but they hunt Jedi for Darth Vader. And one of them is black. And people had like already had it have beef with it, like you know how they do. And so of course the defenders of Star Wars came out and was like, "We're not racist. We just don't like how such and such is written." And it's like, yeah, it's interesting when you call someone the N word. That has nothing to do with the script.
Yeah, what? It's what? Oh,
like man, there's people because like there's always someone. The idea that someone could be racist is like such a foreign thing to certain people. Mm-hmm. And it's usually based on something that they like. If it's something that they didn't care about, they wouldn't make any fuss. But, yeah, you know, there was a, I'm not going to say his name because screw that guy, but there was a YouTuber who was like, there really isn't, you know, racist Star Wars fans. They just don't like how things are written. They're not, they, you know, I don't see any comments. And I'm like, you're not black.
Yeah.
Number one. So you're not going to see a lot of stuff that they see. And number two, did you not hear about the recent trilogy? Like how all majority of the people of color were treated?
Right.
Like how they were like run off Twitter and all this other stuff. And they're like, oh, it's you know, it's bots. You know, they these fake accounts that, you know, in a way they're trying to get Disney to be more woke or something. I don't know. It was just wild. All of the twisting and turning people had to do to kind of like say that there's no races. Here's the thing. You can dislike her. You can dislike the show for whatever reason. But to pretend like there is no racism anywhere, it's just baffling to me. Especially yeah. when these people are telling you that people are being racist. Sending someone death threats because the script is bad, even if it wasn't racist, you're sending someone death threats. Like,
yeah,
at what point is that normal?
Like, it's not, guys. It's not. And it's,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
never that serious.
Oh my God. It's a show. It's just a show.
It's okay. Just somebody's, you know, art form that, you know, really highly pissed you off. But death threats? Like, if that is. There's never, it's never okay because, sorry, D&D would have gotten the most of them because they destroyed Game of Thrones. And
facts, and that did not happen.
It didn't happen as far as we know. So it's like, what are you all doing right now?
Yeah, and because here's the thing, like, if the show is so bad because of the script, why are you messaging her? She didn't write it.
She's just an actor.
She didn't write any of it. So yeah, that's I call it BS. Beyond that though, the show is really good. From what I've seen, there's only 3 episodes right now. Mm-hmm. And as far as like practical effects and like dope sets, I think they put a lot of money into it. They also got the original actor from the prequel trilogy. His name escapes me right now. To play Obi-Wan. And he does
Ewan McGregor.
There you go. Fantastic job. See, that's why you're the co-host. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I honestly, I just need, I want everybody to understand how much pain that caused me because, and I'm being serious here because when you first mentioned Obi-Wan, I was like, okay, because I literally just, I don't remember if it was today or if it was yesterday that I saw an Obi-Wan, one of the ads or whatever, or, or because it could have even been on my TV when I was scrolling through like things to look at. And then I saw, you know, like a Disney Plus or whatever. So I had, as soon as you said Obi-Wan, the image of Ewan popped into my head, like of him, you know, with his kind of like scruffy-ish mustachey beardy thing that he's kind of growing. Right. And that cloth, whatever they're wearing, which looks like burlap. like that just came into my head and I was actually really trying to get his name and it was hurting. My head was like actually hurting. I've been working on this since you started. I've been half listening and participating and half trying to remember this name. And I want everybody to understand that this is what I go through on a daily basis. This is literally the aftermath of brain injury where I can't remember stuff and I have to work really, really hard to get it there. And so I don't know if when we're done, you can go back and look at the time you started talking about it and then just until now. And that's how long it took me to get his name.
Damn. And see, at least, and not to, you know, we're making jokes because we can, right? But like, at least you have an excuse. I just be straight forgetting. And so like, if you notice, there'll be times where I'm talking about something, right? And the person's name is there. I have it written down. I'm looking at the name and I'll just start talking. I'm like, the name is gone. It just disappeared. And then I'm like, okay, just keep talking until the name pops back up in your head. So like, when I said the name escapes me, that was me giving up. That was me being like, you know what? Freaking forget it. I tried. It would not bounce back. And then you said it. And I was like, yes. That's what I'm talking about. Because good grief. If you could see the steam coming out of my ears right now. And it's unfortunate. It's, and this is like a me thing. But I just can't. unless I say your name over and over and over and over and over, I don't lock it in. I know who you are, though. I know your face.
Right.
And then when someone said, like, oh, yeah, that's that actor, that's whoever. Unless it's someone like Will Smith, someone's who I've been saying their name forever, right? But, yeah, like, I don't really say his name a lot. And yeah, so talking about him, I'm like, what was his name again? I know the guy.
But you have an excuse. You have kids.
Wait, how does that work?
Because kids destroy your brain. And... And so, and the more you have them and the longer you have them, the more your brain cells die off. And that's so that's just the truth. Like, I had blunt head trauma and you had four children and they just keep growing and right, doing they don't things. Stop.
Yeah. Well, no, I will say it does. It, and you know, what's funny, it's similar to, like, you know how, like, okay, we're out of college or whatever, mm-hmm, or out of school, and that used to dictate the days for us?
Yeah.
Similarly to people who like, you know, you have a regular 9-to-5, you go to, you know, Monday through Friday, you go to work or whatever. Unless you have an off schedule, that's basically tells you what day it is. You're like, oh, it's Monday because I have to go to work. When you don't have that, it's like, you don't necessarily not know what the day is, but you miss out on stuff. You're like, oh, wait, Mother's Day is when? That it snuck up on me.
I didn't know until somebody told me. I literally didn't know until I got all those text messages. And I was like, oh.
If it wasn't for my phone, I would totally forget to do the, you know, with daylight savings and whatnot. Totally forget. Totally forget. So, like, with kids, like, having different, you know, if they have to go to different practices, dance practice, this practice, whatever, different appointments, having all that stuff juggling in your head. And then for someone to be like, what's the name of such and such as teacher, such and such as thing again? I'm like, oh, well, you see that one person with the face, crap. Like, it just falls out. It only happens when I'm trying to talk about it. In my head, though, I have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it's like going up to the board and you're trying to write something. Have you ever tried to, like, write something, like, a, you know, maybe an English class, you're writing something and, like, you forget a letter and a word just because it's big, though. If it was small on the piece of paper, you would get it. It's like that. I don't know why. Anyways, aside, the show is good. Go check it out on Disney Plus if you have Disney Plus. And if you like Star Wars. The racist stuff isn't there. It's just something you have to kind of be mindful of if you jump on Twitter or actually anywhere, honestly.
Anywhere.
It seems to come with, you know, the territory. We talked about Percy Jackson, you know, the actress that got was hired to play what was it, Athena's daughter, and how she got a whole bunch of hate. It's the same thing. It got to the point where, and shout out to Disney, because Disney actually said something this time and they were like, hey, y'all need to chill with the racism. I'm paraphrasing. And that's solid, because before they would be mad quiet.
Yeah.
Or they would, you know, remove someone's role or whatever to kind of get away from the heat. They wouldn't actually stand up for them. So this is actually really cool that they're doing that. Beyond that, though, you said you've been watching some documentaries as of late.
Yeah, I have been hitting the Netflix documentary chain. Like, it's just... And funny thing is, it's like, after you watch one, it's like you just have to keep watching more. But then I also have that to watch sense. My mood. Like, I have to watch my mood levels, because, like, sometimes they're really, like, they'll really take you down a certain path. And it's like, okay, you know, I can't feel this way right now because I don't have the emotional bandwidth to, like, hate Nestle again. Because I actually hate Nestle again. And I went through long periods of hating Nestle. And then, like, and I boycotted them for a really long time. And then they made Nespresso, and I was like, okay, you know what? I just got to get over it. And I mean, I didn't pay for my Nespresso machines. They were gifted. But I drink the Nespresso coffee because it's amazing. At least I like it. And now I'm at the point, I'm just going to get rid of my Nespresso machines, and I'm never going to buy another pot of Nespresso ever again, because Nestle is the devil. Okay? They are Satan.
What did this doc say?
Oh my god. So this is what Nestle did and continues to do. Because, you know, so there's this whole episode on I can't remember if it's on Rotten or if it's on Broken. Because there's two, so Rotten and Broken are similar documentaries, where, like, Broken just kind of goes over lots of topics of like the system being broken on so many things across the planet. And Rotten is more based on like food and natural resources. And so I can't remember if this is on Rotten or if it's on Broken, but it is. So it's about Nestle and it's not about Nestle. It's actually about bottled water. I did a paper on bottled water, I think, in high school. But because they're basically like anyone in this world knows, like bottled water is actually one of like the like worst ideas that ever became anything that ever graced the planet. Like the planet is littered with plastic everywhere from something that you should be able to get from a non-container. And if we were going to have bottles of water, we should be carrying reusable bottles of water where you can get clean water from a specific source and everybody can get it from there and carry their water around with them. You know, like even to be able to like get water, like water is a natural resource that is very cheap. It should be, right? And that's kind of like this whole idea of this this particular documentary in regards to having access to clean water. And when you live in a country like the United States, clean water is supposed to be a necessity. It's not a luxury. It's not something you're supposed to pay a premium for. Municipal clean water is a part of developed nations. It's just there.
Right.
You should be able to go to a water fountain and not worry about there being contaminated water in it. Water is a resource that you literally, like if you didn't have running water in your home, you should be able to go and get water from another source that would most likely be free. For example, there's a hot spring in West Virginia that I used to go to when I was growing up. People would just bring their jugs and fill up water there. A natural spring, just pump as long as you pump it, it's yours, it's free.
Huh.
And I mean that's common. There's a bunch of places like that because you know springs are supposed to have healing power or whatever, all you know, all that stuff, natural minerals, right. Blah blah blah. So what really goes on in the bottling of water is that companies will go around the nation where they can find water to pump, especially like spring water companies. They'll go and they will drill water out of the ground. And they'll take it and then they'll bottle it and then they'll sell it, which is all like almost ridiculous in a way, because it's like, wait a minute, that water was free. it's not like you're making anything, you're not doing anything with it. You're just pumping it out of the ground and then saying, here, people, drink this. And it's like, but I could have done that myself at the place, you know, the place in West Virginia that I just mentioned. Like I could literally do that and put it in a box.
Was it clean though? That's the thing.
Huh?
I was like, was it clean though?
Oh yeah, it's clean. It wouldn't let you have it if it wasn't. They'd get in trouble for it.
that's what I mean. Like, is it one of those things where like we clean in such a way that this water is like almost distilled?
No. See, that's the falsity. But everybody is supposed to know this because spring water is not purified. Spring water is natural. That's what they and if they are lying about it, then they are false advertising. Because don't you remember all the spring bottles you can name? How many spring water brands can you name right now?
Like four at the most. But granted,
Poland Spring, Evian, like Fiji, all the shits, right? All of them, right? And they always say natural spring water, right? So those are the ones that they're pumping out of the ground. But the problem is that it causes a lot of damage to local areas because they pump more water than exists. So if you continue to pump out groundwater at a rate where the water can't replenish itself, like rain, it's not raining enough for that water to actually be filtered through the ground, go through all the minerals it goes to where it goes to the groundwater pools. Like these are natural things that not a lot of people think about. It's like supply chain, logistics. A lot of people don't think about these things because we don't have to in our developed world.
Yep.
But this causes damage to the environment. It can, you know, everything is a watershed, but you're pumping all the water out of the ground and now you're having plant life that's dying. Or, you know, things that are no longer getting fed by groundwater that they normally would. That's one thing. And that's the spring water argument. And that's going to sit on another side.
even though Nestle will literally go in and pay towns to be like, hey, can we set up shop here and steal all your water? And they'll be like, yeah, sure, do that. Give us some money. Okay, so that whatever, that's one thing. But they're not the only people doing it, even though they are, because Nestle like bought out all of the spring water companies in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That, monopoly on water?
I mean, yeah, this is why they're shaitan. And and I
not
mean,
to be confused with the dude from Dragon Ball Z. Just want to throw that out there. He was actually cool.
He was cool people. But yeah, I mean, yeah, so there's that. There's that other thing that they're doing, which is bad. But the other thing is the purified water. The purified water game is ridiculous because you know how many purified water brands there are there. We can name those as well. Dasani, Aquafina. I remember when those came out when I was in high school. And I, just to be fair, I've always liked Dasani over Aquafina because it just tasted better, but they're both nasty anyway. Anyway, so the purified water game. Everybody really needs to understand, and this is one of the things that I learned when I was younger. Y'all know that purified water bottled comes from municipal water sources. Like, people need to know this. Do you not know this?
Most people, well, they ought to. I mean, I learned that in middle school, but anyways, yeah.
Yeah. So if you understand the way municipal water works, is that municipal water is the water that you get coming out of your faucets where you live. In this country, that's the water you're drinking. Now, mind you, they reverse osmosis it, and then
do some cleaning. Yeah.
And then it tastes like crap afterwards. So then they add their own elixir of minerals that they don't tell us what it is, but they add their own little elixir so that it tastes better after they've done all the cleaning to it, and then they put it on the shelves. Now we know that having bottled water is a good thing. Like when we're under boiled water advisories or when waters get shut off. Like, nobody is saying that having access to a certain amount of bottled water is not a good thing, because it's really good for emergencies. But Americans don't consume bottled water in emergencies. Americans consume bottled water all of the time. In fact, a lot of people consume bottled water as their regular water. And these are not people who are living just in Flint. These are people who are living where the best water is available, and they are choosing to have bottled water, plastic bottled water, because for some reason they think it's better. That's marketing for you. So we're doing something extremely damaging to the environment by continuing to put money into an industry that rapes the land of its of what it actually needs to be, you know, it for the earth to be the earth. And we're actually paying more for water that literally is naturally already owed to us in this type of society. And putting more money, like bottled water, it can literally cost you $2.50 for 16 ounces some places. That $2.50 is like a week's worth of water in your house. And so those things don't make sense at all. The disparity is ridiculous. And this idea, again, that the water where you live is not clean, again, depending on where you live, you may have issues, because we all know what's going on with Flint. But one of the things they're showing in the documentary was like, Flint gets to, give bad water to their people. And then guess what? Nestle rolls right in and says, hey, let's give these people some free water. Because, well, I mean, first of all, they need water, right? So let's not say that that's a bad thing. But one of the bigger problems is, well, y'all are continuing just to give bottled water, but you're a huge conglomerate. You could have just helped them fix the problem instead of just giving. So, okay, there's a thought, but whatever. We'll stick a pin in that one too. The reason why I finally have just said, screw you, Nestle, you're a horrible person, and too bad you're not a person, because then I could jail you, but you can't jail corporations. They are doing it again in West Africa. They are doing the dirty again, just like they did all those years ago when they convinced West African mothers that formula was better and then killed all those babies. They killed babies. Everybody knows this. They killed babies. It would have been just as bad if they had just, you know, stabbed the babies themselves. But no, those babies starved to death. We're having a formula shortage in the United States of America right now, right?
Right.
But the thing, it was happening to women in Africa, and it wasn't just a shortage. There was no clean water to even continue to use this formula. It wasn't. These women weren't breastfeeding because they were told to use formula. And then when the formula ran out, the free couple weeks of formula that they were given, their babies died because their breast milk had dried out. These babies starved to death. That is terrible. They got fevers and died. So yeah, Nestle's evil. But moving on to what they're doing now. So they're over in Nigeria. They decided they're going to build a water plant. Because, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to dig groundwater, bottle it, and give it to the people. This is dumb. Okay? This is dumb. And I need people to understand why this is dumb. Because some people will be like, well, don't they need clean water in Africa? Like, isn't Nestle? But if they need a clean water, why would a company come in and bottle water? Like, put water in plastic bottles? Wouldn't a company come in and build a water treatment facility that where water could be easily accessible or given to people like the milkman instead of bottling water?
And they can't make money off of that.
They can't make money because they're evil. That's my, these people, they could be making money in so many other ways because they're, Nestle took over the water all over the United States. Nestle is making billions. You want to know what Nestle did? Nestle bought the building in Arlington, Virginia that was empty for like 5 years. That building got built. No one wanted to rent it. No one, people are like, yeah, we're not paying this money. There's this really pretty building in Arlington. It's you can tell it from the skyline because it has like a triangle, like a triangular prism roof. And Nestle got that building. And that building was empty. It was empty for years. Nobody was going to... There was a time where government offices were moving out of D.C. and moving to Northern Virginia because it was cheaper. Like, a lot of places were just starting to embrace the whole work-from-home type life. They were piloting it and all this stuff. And this building goes up and nobody wants to move into it because it's too expensive. It's in Arlington and everything like that. Nestle took that building. They own that building now. That's theirs. They have money, okay?
Yeah.
More money than anybody can have. So if they're going to sit here and give free bottles to people in Flint, they're not giving free bottles to people in Nigeria where they just opened a plant. They're bottling that water and they're selling it to the elites in West Africa. Because you look like you have money. I'm telling you this because I'm West African. I'm telling you this because my parents are sitting there in their home buying bottled water. They're not drinking the water. They already know. They're Americans. They already know not to drink the water. They don't have the stomachs anymore that they grew up with. They're different people now. So they can't just drink the water coming out of the tap. Anyway, they can't do that. they know that they can't do that. But that they go and buy their water. We're talking about the fact that Nestle built a water plant in a village. Okay. A place where people are not, these people don't have any money. They're not going to restaurants and bars and grocery stores to buy water. These are people who are literally living their normal life out in the boondocks. They're making, you know, making their food. They're doing everything by hand, living their quiet little village lives. And they built this big plant in the middle of what used to be like a one-lane road. They turned it into a highway and built this huge water plant. And unfortunately, now that this highway is there, these people have to cross a busy highway to get to the river where they typically would get their water. Okay. River that, I mean, honestly, the water's actually clean enough for these people to live off of. And they have for years. And which is a lot of places, lots of places where people are living in Africa where they know that the rivers are okay. They can trust this river water. They know that it's not poisoned by runoff from factories and stuff like that. And so the people normally would go to this river to get their water, but they can't. Now they have to cross a busy highway. And this highway was literally built so that Nestle could have their huge factory And no one took any concern for the humans that were living there to say, maybe we should implement footbridges, like pedestrian bridges so that people can cross. They interviewed this one lady who said that her daughter was killed because she was hit by a car. Like, it was one of the saddest things. Like, women stay home and they raise their children and they go to the river every day. And they go and they fetch water all the time.
Right.
But now they are in danger because Nestle showed up. They can't even access the river anymore because it's too dangerous for them. Like, and they continue to do so, but their lives are at risk. They're getting killed by crossing the street because they have to cross a highway.
That's wild.
You know, it's wild, but that's not even the worst thing. One of the worst things is that they discovered that the river is now contaminated because the chemicals from the Nestle plant are poisoning the river. And the people weren't even...
convenient.
It's so convenient because the people would then now be dependent on Nestle to get clean water. So they're poisoning the river that people have drank from for Lord knows how long. Hundreds of years. And they are risking their own lives getting water from the river because it's not safe to walk there. And it's also no longer safe to drink because of Nestle.
And all this from what documentary?
It's either from Rotten or Broken. I can't remember. It's on Netflix.
Okay. I'm going to have to check that out. Because I remember Nestle, not just Nestle, Nestle, Hershey, and I think Mars, the Mars Bars company, was in hot water a little bit a while back because they had the coca factories or like where they basically had children getting the chocolate that you eat in your you know, your candy bars, whatever the case may be. And apparently that was something that was still going on even decades later after they said that they were going to stop or they were going to, you know, because, you know, the child laws and whatnot is different in different places. And so but the fact that you're an American company, it's like, hey, what are you doing? And so,
what are you doing?
You know, similar to, you know, and this is not the only company. There's companies all over the place that do these type of things. You know, even Apple have had issues where, you know, grown-ups, adults were, you know, being overworked, underpaid, and led to a lot of bad stuff happening. I think people taking their lives at one point, and you know, the company saying, "Oh, we're going to look into it." We talked about Nintendo. You know, of America, Nintendo of Japan, and how they were outsourcing for different, you know, things, and how people were being, you know, treated poorly, overworked, and all this other stuff. And the bottom line seems to be money. Like, let's get the most out of these people without paying them well, without treating them well, so we can get more money. And you know, this is what we're seeing with Nestle. There's things that I've heard about the company, but not as much as and there's things that I it's one of those things where now I think we've created issues where we're dependent on things that we might not have been dependent on if we didn't create those issues. Like you know, mentioning about them creating or putting the plant there, and now the river is messed up, you know, it's poisonous. So now you need bottled water until this gets fixed. And unfortunately, the people who could fix it aren't going to because they want to sell you the bottled water. And so now it's like, well, I can't necessarily advocate for them to take the bottled water away until you get something fixed. And that's something where I can kind of see, just because of who we are, we kind of see those things because we come from that in a sense where, you know, I mentioned on here a while back about someone saying we should get rid of all cars because the pollution, all this other stuff. And I'm like, well, there's poor people that need those cars, like, because we're still very much segregated.
Class-based, you can't get rid of cars until you make everything walkable.
Exactly. And within a decent distance from everybody, right?
Right. And not everybody can walk, so.
They can't. That's, you know, that you're being ableist, you know what I mean? And so it's rough because a lot of these problems are just, or the symptoms of these problems are things that we need now because people with a lot of money and a lot of power created problems that we didn't freaking have before. You know, having bottled water, like, you know, at a function because, you know, there's no water fountains or whatever. Okay, fine. Or in Flint. But in places where you could just have water, like you could just have it and it's clean and it's okay. We don't need bottled water. But because you have to make a profit, and there's this weird thing with capitalism where you can't just have a make a profit. Like you have to make profit on top of profit. Like you have to be better each year to the point of absurdity, that it never freaking stops. It just keeps growing, this weird monster. And it sucks because then you're like, all right, we need to fix these things. How do we go about fixing it? And that is such a, at times, a behemoth effort, because we now have to address all the, you know, the runoff, all of the bad things that happen because this thing came into play. You know what I mean? Because you can't just, like, shutting them down and removing them from wherever they are in West Africa is like, okay, cool, but you ruin the river now.
Yeah.
So where are you going
to
get
water? You would literally need to shut the plant down, and you need to fix the I mean, one of the, like, this is what actually one of the things I feel like. First of all, if you shut the plant down, that you're going to stop polluting the river, because if the plant's no longer working, the pollutants don't go into the river anymore. That's right. That's point blank, period. No more pollutants if you shut the goddamn factory down. And everybody will literally go back to doing exactly what they're doing. But the thing that you cause now is now you have this busy highway that exists that's connecting two different cities. This busy highway, which will exist outside of the purpose of this factory. Even if they shut the factory down, the women are still going to have a hard time getting to the river that is now not dirty anymore because you guys have stopped polluting it. So we still need somebody to fix that problem, which is creating the footbridges, you know, creating those pedestrian bridges. So this is what they did, because this became a problem, and the filmmakers, you know, were talking to them. They're like, look, clearly, so they created these like fountains so that people could go and get water from them. They're like, oh, you know, people can just come and get water from us instead of going to the river. And it's like, you're still on the other side of the road.
Right.
The people on the east side still have to cross to get to you. And they're like, okay, well, fine. We're going to create a pump on the other side. No shit, Sherlock. Like, what's so hard about you guys have come... You guys literally have people. You have logistics people. You have people who plan these types of things. You intentionally did not do X, Y, and Z because you do not care. There's no concern for the human beings who exist in the place you choose to occupy. Your only concern is your dollar. You do not care. They then said, oh, you know, we realized that we were doing this, so we're testing the water all the time now. And we realized that there was some chemicals that were being used, and we're no longer going to use them. Do you really think that we're going to believe you?
Like, I mean, even if it's the case, because I am very much big on, okay, just because you've been doing something for so long that's bad doesn't mean you can't opt to do something good. Someone was hired to fix this problem, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is you knew it.
Yeah.
You knew it. And it's not a coincidence that it's convenient now for you that people would have to go get the water. Like you probably didn't want it to come out that you did it, but it's mad convenient. And even without that being the case, if that wasn't the case, then it's negligent because you know how to operate a factory. You know how to, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like,
not your first rodeo.
I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, there are factories in the U.S. If someone finds out that they're polluting some type of, you know, water or somewhere, it's going to be an issue.
Oh yeah. They get shut down. It's already happened.
Exactly.
So there were cities that have managed to get rid of the Nestle factories. They're like, nope, you can't keep drilling here. When they were doing the groundwater, they're like, nope, you're ruining our ecosystem. And then they move, and then they go to another state.
Right. So like at the very least, you're aware of these things. You're aware that this could happen, and you didn't put anything in place. And the reason why you didn't, and this is an assumption, but because it would be money that you didn't think you needed to spend. Because the idea is to make the most amount of money while spending the least, regardless of who it hurts. Because in the long run, let's say the plant gets shut down. They've already made a ridiculous amount of money. Even if they have to pay a fine, even if they have to pay whatever, it's kind of like the thing where, you know, people are like, it's better to beg for forgiveness than to ask permission. It's like, you've already made so much freaking money, so much money, that it doesn't matter if you get a fine. This is something that I was actually going to bring up earlier, and I forgot, in terms of like companies just being bad. But we talked about Activision, jumping over to gaming for a second. We talked about Activision for a couple episodes, and how they've had the, you know, they're being sued by California. They actually just settled a lawsuit with one of the organizations that was suing them. I think it was like for $18 million after they got all that, the fighting and whatnot out of the way. And I'm thinking about it, it's like $18 million is cheap for the CEO, let alone for the company.
Yeah.
It's really, really cheap. And my thoughts are, because there was some good news that came out of this. You know, they Blizzard actually has one of the first unions in gaming. That actually they voted on it recently. So that's really dope. And that could have a long lasting impact on other video game companies. The lawsuit, even though it's not a whole lot, at the very least, someone's got some money. There's also some things that are contingent on how they act going forward in terms of like what policies they put into place, how they're going to handle sexual harassment, things of that nature. And they still have other lawsuits on the table, and then being bought by Microsoft hopefully won't like derail any of those things, but the way I'm looking at it, even though it's baby steps, it's still moving in a good direction, to the point where I'm willing to kind of look at their products again. That being said, I do understand that you've made so much freaking money off of these products, that the pain that you've caused, that it's very easy for you to be like, you know what? Let's just give them this little bit of pocket change. Let's show the next Call of Duty in the next few weeks, and people will magically forget about all the stuff that's been happening. And that's not how this works. Or at the very least, it shouldn't be how this works. Like Nestle, whatever company that's doing the dirt, they know what they're doing. You do not get that freaking big and not know about all of the ins and outs of what it takes to run your company in a safe and professional manner. You can't know.
Nope. You have a history.
Several bridges. I have several bridges to sell you if you think that's true. Several. Like just all over the place. Like my backyard. I got a ton. Like what type of bridge you looking for? You want something like what you see in California? You want something like the Golden Gate? You know what I'm saying? Like I got all the bridges. Some of them come with their own trolls. If you buy now, you get a troll.
Seriously. Like
that's what it comes with. Because it just, no, you know this. You know how this works. So I can't be like, oh, we didn't know we could. There's chemicals. There's chemicals in plastic. No, stop, fam. Stop it. You knew. What you banked on was that you would make enough money that it wouldn't matter. Within a year, within 10 years, however long it took for people to notice, you've already made enough money that it's almost like writing off your taxes. Or you know what I mean? Like, I get this money back. It doesn't even matter. I made such a big profit. Right. It's like, off the top. Like, it's like, you know, I made, you know, if I make the numbers really small, you know, I spent $1.50, you know, I got charge $1.50 fine, but I made $100 over here. Doesn't freaking matter. I will gladly give you $1.50, you know? So like that's what it is. And it's unfortunate. I'm glad there are documentaries like that, that kind of delve into some of the things that's happening and what's been happening with a lot of these companies. And
yes.
You know, because people just don't know. Because you think of products, you don't think of how they get to where they are on the shelves. You just think about, I need that product, so I'm gonna go get that product. Unfortunately, really, we live in a society that it's very hard to find products that aren't tainted in some form. And that's not me like giving an excuse to Nestle. I don't really use any of their products, but It's sobering in a way, because a lot of stuff, even if like vegan foods, even like just all sorts of stuff, like you find out like, oh, this money came from someone who used to do this, or they use that money to do these things, or, you know, it's tied into this, or they use, you know, even just to sell it, they use Amazon or they use Microsoft or they use whatever. So like they're all tied into these companies. Everything bleeds into everything else. You can definitely, there is a line. You know, there's a line for everyone. Like, you know, like I said, for a long time, I wasn't playing anything Activision. But it's also like, dang, like, it would be nice to buy from, like, I don't know, like a company that's black owned, that doesn't have any ties to anything. And it's, you know, they're good people and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, will they be good people up until the point where they eventually make millions, make billions? Will they still be good people? I don't know.
You never know.
It's rough.
Once people get that taste of good money, they're like, wait, what? I mean, I don't know.
It's not impossible. Right. It's just not freaking feasible once you get over a certain amount of money. I wouldn't want that amount of money.
It's the possibilities for that greed. It's too real because people are human, and once they get a taste of something, I mean, it's a very strong and a very grounded person who is able to walk away from that type of corruption, you know, that lots and lots of money will bring you, because there are people willing to sell out their own people while they enjoy the nicer things and watch their own people suffer. Because that's happening all over the place.
And those people are trash. I just I just tweeted not too long ago about forgetting about a certain person that I'm not going to mention. We know who she is and how she acts politically. And the money that she makes is mad chump change compared to the people who are paying her. And she has no problem throwing all of us under the freaking bus. And it's so annoying. I'm like, they're not even paying you well. And
she needs to get some lotion or some, I don't know. Go back to your root.
She can't even afford that because they ain't paying her that much. They're not paying you that. And not to say that there's a price tag, but I'm saying it would be a little bit more respectable if you were like, you know, I'm using a lot of metaphors and similes and all this good stuff because it works for what I'm trying to do right now. But you remember the movie, Regina King's film? She did the Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X and all of them. Right. So there's a scene where the football player, I forget his name, where he goes to the white guy. To the white guy's house, like a mansion or whatever, and he's like, the white guy's like, oh, I love you, you know, see you play football, you're my favorite, blah blah blah, and I knew you, you know, you're from this town, you're the town hero, blah blah blah. And I think one of his servants comes up and is like, hey, you know, you got to move your bags or you got to do something. And he's like, oh, the black guy's like, oh, you need me to help you? I can come in and help you pack or help you put whatever. And he's like, oh, you can't come in my house, you're black,
right? And it's like, wow. So I'm gonna go because that was ridiculous.
But yeah, that's what it's, I remember. Like. It's like. So to him, you know, he realizes like, oh, I'm still me. I'm still, you know, what you see of me. I'm able to produce something for you, and that gives you some type of pleasure or whatever the case may be. And so you're willing to shell out whatever you can, money. But in this case, it was like, you know, a praise, you know, because of the entertainment that he brings. But the reality is, they still see you as you. So like this particular person who's selling us out, you're getting peanuts compared to what they get. The harm that they're going to do with what you're doing, it's just balloons over any type of financial gain you could have. And then on top of that, they still see you as one of us.
Yeah.
Like, they still see you as one of us. Like, you just look goofy out here.
So dumb. Like,
and you're smart. And that's the problem. You're smarter than that. I mean, you're doing dumb stuff, but you're smarter than that. Based on how you talk, how you articulate certain points, it takes a smart person to be that manipulative. In a way that doesn't make you look dumb all the freaking time. Because there'll be times where she says something that's like, oh,
I know.
We're so close.
We've all said
right
that.
There.
And then she drops the ball on us and we're like,
and it's like, oh, okay.
The rug. And you're like, okay, right. Well, yeah.
Yep. I almost was thinking about giving you credit and then you just do this dumb shit. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So that, you know what I mean? And so that's what it is. It's like, once we get to a certain point and, you know, there's money to be made and we figure out that, hey, we can cut corners. We can do this, do that, and save a little money. Maybe I can get a second yacht. And it's like,
you know what? You know? Yeah, get a second yacht. Hopefully it hits some rocks and sinks and Cardi B is there to narrate it for you because
That was hilarious.
It's sinking, y'all. There ain't nothing they can do. Can they get a bigger boat? Can they get a boat and get it out of the water? Oh, y'all, it's sinking. That killed me.
I enjoy her for being her.
I know. You can't get mad at Cardi B. You can't.
It's one of those things, like, you know how, like, you're rich, so you can kind of get away with stuff. Like Prince, because he's Prince, he can get away with pants with no bottoms.
Yep, like, he sure could.
Yep. It's like she can kind of get away with it, but then yep. it allows her to be her, more so of her. Mm-hmm. And it's refreshing in a way. Yep. Shout out to Cardi. but yeah, that was our random show.
Watch more documentaries.
Yes. basically talking about the stuff that we've watched and why we think, you know, Nestle is a bad company and needs to get it together. Hopefully we're gonna have a special guest next week, depending how things go, because COVID's still a thing. You know, your life can be thrown up and down regardless. I remember one time we didn't record because I thought I had COVID. Thankfully I didn't, but getting sick during our vacation, it was like,
yeah.
Thankfully we had gotten you can actually get them in the mail now, the COVID test.
Government tests, yeah.
Right. And apparently there's different kits because
there are.
You have to put in like the Konami code and some other stuff to get them to work.
Yeah, and you got to take a flash mob picture and
right.
up, down. Like, yeah.
Yeah, twerk a little bit in the moonlight. Like there's you got to do so a whole much. Lot. A lot I'm to like, get it to work.
Why do I have to do all of these steps and then still I got to wait longer than a pregnancy test? To figure it. Like it's just there's too many steps. I was like, wait a minute, so I gotta get a beaker. Oh, I have to buy the beaker. So I went on Amazon, I had to buy my own beaker, and you know what I mean? It's just so many steps. I gotta swish in a circle, and
yeah, then if you don't get enough juice,
and then you gotta like take 16 solvents, wish them around together with some mouthwash. It's too much.
It just doesn't make fam, both nostrils. Have you ever, you know what it feels like to take something out of one nostril and put it in the other?
It's
that
just so does,
it feels wrong. Once something comes out of the nostril, it stays out.
Yeah. Nobody puts their boogers back in their nose.
Exactly. It stays out. It's wrong. Anyways. That wasn't the case. So like, I say all that to say that, you know, there's bumps in the road in terms of recording schedules because of things of that nature. But if everything's on track for next week, we will have a special guest. So definitely stay tuned for that. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming. And if you're not listening on YouTube, you're on Spotify or iTunes or Google Podcasts, any of those places, feel free to subscribe/add us to your RSS feed. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. There's always nerd stuff to talk about. There just is. There's just always things to talk about. Let us know if there's a particular thing that you want us to talk about. Specifically, whether it's comics. I've been reading a ton of comics thanks to Marvel Unlimited. I've also been buying a lot of stuff. I've been catching up on stuff. Like if there's a show that's about a comic, I usually buy the comic to kind of read if I think it is interesting. Invincible on Amazon, when that show came out, is done by Robert Kirkman, the guy who did The Walking Dead. I really like that, and so I bought all the issues of it, and it's a really good comic. It's a little dated in terms of the jokes and whatnot, but it's really good, and I think it's a solid companion to have when you're watching the show because they've made changes. They more modernized certain elements of it, so, you know, there's always something to talk about in that regard as well. And also manga. I'm still subscribed to Crunchyroll. Even though the app is fickle as hell, it's just not a, I don't know. I thought once Sony bought Crunchyroll and Funimation that those aspects would improve, but they haven't. And so it's still finicky. They have all the anime now. Like just about all the anime you can, outside of classic stuff that you can think of. And so they also have, if you subscribe, they have the where you can read the manga like as they come out. I think it's within a certain amount of hours after they come out in Japan or in the Shonen Jump books or whatever. And so there's a lot of content there that we could talk about. And video games and movies. I went and saw Bob's Burgers. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that next week.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
And I bet.
Yeah, just a whole lot. So definitely subscribe. Let us know what you think in the comments, and we will get back to you. And
yeah.
That's it for housekeeping.
Yeah, man. Just everybody, if you have a chance, I would definitely get on the Netflix documentary series. I mean, I feel like they drop a new documentary every week.
And I've watched a lot of them, and they're really good. And honestly, I was gonna actually talk about the nature documentaries, but ended up on Nestle because it's important to know that they're Satan. So there's that. But otherwise, yeah, if you get a chance, watch the Netflix documentaries. They're narrated by, you know, a bunch of famous people. Penguin Town was amazing. Wild Babies was amazing. But I think the best one really is A Night on Earth. And that one, I think, is voiced by Samira Wiley.
And that sounds dope.
Handmaid's Tale. Yes, A Night on Earth. All I'm going to say is that they have developed these really great cameras that work at night when there is literally no light. And I don't mean, you know, just, okay, you know, we've got street lights, we've got lights from houses. And no, they are in the savannah. They're in the Okavango Delta. They are out in the middle of nowhere where there's no light. And they are using special cameras, and you can see the animals. You can see the lions, the wildebeests. Everything is so cool looking. It's just like everything's glowing. I mean, I literally watched a shrimp beat up a crab. It was so fulfilling. And I felt so bad for the crab. You don't understand. That poor crab did not deserve it.
You can't go home no more. You better go handle that shrimp.
He can't go. He can't. The shrimp is bigger than him. I was like, whoa, how big is this shrimp? The shrimp just clocked him and just knocked his claw off. I said, damn, homie. Like, damn. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, if you're ever feeling in a certain way, you're just feeling depressed, or you're just feeling a certain type of way, I swear the Netflix documentaries will really, really help you in a certain way. The nature ones are so good until they're sad, because animals do die. And that is actually really hard sometimes. But they're really, really great delving into how our Earth actually exists and kind of where you exist in the world. I keep playing Circle of Life in my head, because it's kind of like humbling to understand that you as a human are just this one person, you know, occupying a certain amount of air, space, time. And then there's these animals who are off here living in the wild and doing their things. Barack Obama, we all know that he has one. Our national parks, that is a really good one.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love it. And just to let you guys know, like, a lot of the Netflix nature documentaries, ones that have all kind of been released in the same amount of time, they use a lot of the same footage. And so they're going to overlap, but they're all put into a different. I'm saying this like I actually know. Like, some Netflix person will probably be like, we did not use the same footage. I'm like, well, I don't know how many people you sent out, okay, to go into the same place and film at the same time. So that's a little shaky to me. I don't know if I buy your argument. But anyway, my point is, I think that they're something great to watch, and they're really really enjoyable. So, but yeah, so that's really it. That's our show. I ain't got nothing else except, you know, wash your faces and your hands and your butts, and don't be mad at us if we take a week off, because, you know, I get headaches. And that's really it. Hope you guys have a great week. See you next time. Bye.